Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
A good evening to you, everybody. Welcome to The Watchman this evening or afternoon or morning, whatever time it is that you listen to the program, as we proceed with a discussion of some of the events that are happening across the world. And of course, relate them with Bible prophecy and the things that we expect to see shortly. Now, previously, we were always concerned about the coming close of a third world war because of what was happening between Iran and Israel and so on. And of course, I think the scripture explicitly says that it is going to come from there when there is an initial strike, a preemptive strike from Israel, especially on Iran's nuclear facilities. However, looks like things are changing now, and maybe apparently naturally, because the news, of course, that is coming out from the weekend is the death of the president of Iran, Ebrahim Raisi, and also the foreign minister, who has been very crucial in putting together activities of Iran's proxies against Israel, because he's the one who has been coordinating with the Islamic Jihad, with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with the Houthi rebels in Yemen. And he's the one who has been meeting each and every one of them. Now he's dead, along with the president, Ebrahim Raisi. And somehow there is big celebrations in Iran over the death of their president, which means he was a very, very unpopular figure. I am with Evangelist John Paul Akena and Derek Moreva. So, what's your take on this?
The exciting news, which of course came to us, was that the president of Iran and of course the foreign minister, they had gone to meet the president of Azerbaijan, which of course a very friendly nation to Israel. At some stage last year, they had opted that Israel would come to their land and get a territory, a place where they can shoot at Iran, because it's Azerbaijan is at the northern part of Iran and looking towards Iran from the upper side. So it would be a very easy place for Israel to shoot them. So they had actually offered for Israel to have a place where they can shoot Iran straight from their land. But this time, the president of Iran and foreign minister, plus of course other, about I think, seven other more people that had gone to meet that president. And after, when the meeting was done, when they were coming back on their way, and they had reached Iran in a place called the Eastern Province of Azerbaijan, which is in Iran. It's a territory of Iran, but it's called Eastern Province of Azerbaijan. When they reached there, the news came out that they had a hard landing. And of course, it was on a Sunday evening. And we were speculating, has he died? What has happened? Then, of course, on Monday morning, it came out clear that actually all of them were, they were actually on this helicopter. And there were three helicopters of the president and the foreign minister, plus seven other people, plus the other two escorting helicopters. They were moving together. But this one of theirs had a hard landing. And what happened is they all succumbed and they all died, because the explanation which came out was there was bad weather condition and there was a lot of fog, and then there was also a lot of cold. From the pictures which came out, it was in the middle of a rocky place. And then, of course, later on, it came out very clear that all of them, because even now the pictures were coming out with their bodies, and they were ferrying their bodies. That was the news.
And the thing is, Derek, Israel says they are not responsible whatsoever, although this might have looked as convenient for them, considering that that foreign minister was coordinating a lot of the work with the proxies, Iranian proxies against Israel. But Israel says they are not involved whatsoever. And they put it down to bad weather. And the Iranians themselves are not saying Israel. Actually, I had their former foreign minister saying that it's they put it on America, because America stopped them from importing proper choppers because of the sanctions. And so because of that, that's why they... So it was a bit of a prolonged, a stretchy thing of blaming America, but nobody has blamed Israel. How, I mean, how convenient?
First of all, because of the situation in the Middle East right now, the ongoing, besides the war between Israel and Hamas, the recent escalation between Israel and Iran, where they, you know, exchanged missiles, is very suspicious right now. It looks like Israel may not be innocent, although it is saying it's innocent, because, I mean, forecasts of the weather say that it was a sunny day, and then suddenly, you know, the weather,
foggy.
It became foggy, and, you know, how convenient that they were even on board a U.S. helicopter. So there's,
and there were,
you know,
three, only one.
Why this particular one? It looks like it's targeted. However, whether or not Israel is involved, I don't think that it may be a surprise that the Lord actually was involved in this. Personally, I think that this had to have involved the hand of God for the reason which I think is that this war has to come to a close, number one, but also, number two, it buys
time.
Time, not just for Israel, but for the church right now, because from the trajectory things were taking, it looked like we're approaching Ezekiel, you know, 38, 39, in a scenario where we have a world war. But now that, like you were saying, that the foreign minister and that president were involved in a lot of coordinating, you know, the enemies of Israel to attack, I think that now that those, the foremost people, and also remember Israel has killed many of the commanders of, you know, Iran's army. So I think that now there's a bit of time for us as because now that there's no risk of the war spilling into, you know, a global event, I think that now that gives us the time that we need actually to have this as what I think Matthew 28 called bath pangs. No, Matthew 24 rather.
Yes.
That, you know, this is the beginning of bath pangs. Because I've noticed that since the war in Israel, we've had so many such bath pangs. We had a major solar eclipse that lasted a couple of minutes. We had Israel and Iran's confrontation. We've had signs in the heavens. There have been things which have been taking place, which have been the beginning of something.
Yes.
And after that scripture, it says that, after saying that it's the beginning of bath pangs, then it says, now the Lord then comes after.
Yes.
So I think that's, for me, that's the joy I have from all of this. Whether or not I'm happy that the Iranian, you know, is a totally different story, but I think that this is a major event for us as a church.
The exciting part is when you see, like what you have said, that it was very unpopular, is that the president actually, he has been implementing from the time he entered into office in 2021, he has been actually doing exactly what the Ayatollah wants. Because, of course, from the background of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which, of course, came, at first there was the monarchy of Iran, which was actually friendly to Israel.
Yes.
And they actually recognized Israel.
Yeah, it was the second largest Muslim country to recognize Israel.
Their relationship with Israel was okay. But 1979, when the Iranian Revolution came in, and the Ayatollah came and they took power from that monarchy, they now established a totally different nation, which was now pushing for hatred of Israel. And they made sure that they now built their weaponry, military, and everything. And even now organizing terrorists, like proxy terrorists, around the Middle East to actually project Iran to become that superpower in the Middle East. So that was the Ayatollah who was behind it. And actually, even now, of course, he's the second Ayatollah. They called him the supreme leader of Iran. And for him, he doesn't go anywhere. He just stays in Iran. But then the president, he has to choose someone who should be the acting, which of course the president which of course now this president Raisi was now the one he had chosen. So there had been, and there had been the president of Iran has been basically doing his policies, what the Ayatollahs want, and changing everything in Iran to making sure that like everyone has to be policed, like you remember there is that policing of everyone, like and
Islamic police,
yes, the Islamic police, where you have to follow the laws, which
actually one of the reasons he was very unpopular, I think, is over a lady,
yes,
who was eventually killed,
yes,
for not putting on the burqa,
yes,
and what,
yes,
and the mullahs were not having any of that because, yes, apparently she was trying to start a revolution in which ladies,
yes, yes,
and the mullahs were said you're joking,
mm,
and she died a very gruesome death,
yes,
and somehow the people put it on Raisi,
yes.
One of the reasons,
yes,
apart from even in the earlier years,
yes,
when he would hang people and so on before he was even president, one of the reasons of why he was very unpopular in Iran.
Yes.
Mm.
So all that made him very unpopular to the point that, like, when the news came out that, not even clearly, people started even sending out fireworks in the sky, and they were celebrating in Iran. Then, of course, afterwards, in other the Iranians in other areas like UK, they also started celebrating. So it looks like people actually didn't want what they are pushing forth. Because from the background where we said that Iran was not a nation which was against Israel, that means there is actually a certain kind of division. And these Ayatollahs and the president and also the political side, they are pushing for something totally different from what the other people wanted.
Anyway, and now all that comes at a time where the whole world was screaming to Israel, do not enter Rafah, do not enter Rafah. And Israel went and entered Rafah, and then they made the discovery, which they said they had suspected all along, and it is so many tunnels going into Egypt, and which shows that Egypt has been playing both sides, because on top of the surface they're actually building barriers between their country and Palestine, and Gaza Strip, and yet beneath there are so many tunnels which have been built in there. So the Israeli soldiers expected to go somewhere in there and either find hostages or find, you know, the Sinua, the head of the Hamas. Turns out the man has escaped. It could be somewhere, maybe perhaps in Turkey right now.
Yes.
But but how many tunnels were there?
There were 50, about 50.
50 well-constructed tunnels.
Yes.
Now, that's amazing because these people say that, there's a humanitarian crisis in Gaza. People are starving. They have world-class tunnel infrastructure.
Yes.
World-class tunnels. Mm. Very, very, very well-built tunnels inside there, which must have cost millions and millions of dollars right in there. And then they never ran out of ammunition.
Yes.
They never ran out of gunpowder.
Yes.
And, like, that's just the way. But somehow they claim they ran out of food.
Yes.
And now the Israeli soldiers reached there and actually found food, a lot of the supplies that have been sent into Gaza for humanitarian purposes were inside the tunnels. And, being enjoyed by Hamas.
Yes.
Mm. So now, when this discovery was made of the tunnels,
yes,
then it became clear why everybody was saying, don't go into Rafah, because clearly there was something they were trying to protect.
Yes.
And even Egypt recently joined South Africa in their ICJ case against Israel. Still trying to stop them from going to Rafah. But anyway, thank God Israel went there.
Yes.
Because now at least we know that Egypt is not as neutral as it has been claiming to be.
Yes.
It is not. It has been playing both sides. And there is a lot of supplies that have been coming through Egypt into the Gaza Strip. And, you know, a lot of ammunition coming through there and coming to the Gaza Strip, as well as so many other things.
Yes.
So now this just complicates the relationship between Egypt and Israel. Because remember, they have an agreement which was signed in 1973. And that agreement was so contentious at the time that it was signed that it caused the death of, what was it called, Sadat?
Anwar
Sadat.
Yes.
But they just said, Egypt just said no more wars with Israel. But turns out that they have been going against that agreement. Mm. Now, I don't know what this does for them because they have a lot of egg on their faces, having been discovered. Incredible stuff there.
And those accords, the Camp David Accords of that year. That, because for 40-something years, Egypt has been presented as, you know, the country that is pro-Israel. Is, and I was surprised because when I saw Egypt turn around, and now join South Africa and also complain about the entering of Rafah. There was a big question mark, like you've said, about Rafah because initially the I think the PR of that not entering Rafah was that you've pushed all the Palestinians to the last, you know, and now even Egypt raised. You know, because if Egypt really cared about the so-called Arab neighbors, they would have opened for them.
Yes.
But they made sure that they are stuck right there because now it is clear that, you know.
And the thing which you speak about, they are talking about humanitarian aid, but also they are talking about civilians. That now when you go there, this is the only city which has about, I think, 1.4 million civilians. And you are going to kill them, you know, all that. But what Israel did was, they even before entering Rafah, they made sure that they are going to actually provide a safe place for civilians, and they ferry them out. And when they did that, America came out and said, this will take so much time, it will take 12 weeks to do what you are speaking about. Because America, before Israel enters Rafah, they said, present us a plan, a plan that will show us very well.
How you're going to protect civilians
and all that. But and when Israel did that, said we are going to make sure there is a safe place, he said, no, it will take so long and it takes so much time and we don't trust you and all that. And can you imagine now in just like a few days, a few days when they had just entered, right now, Israel has almost taken civilians to a safe place, a safe zone, and over 800,000 civilians and even more have been catered. And they are actually calling them that make sure you leave this place. And as they are, for them, they are taking over the whole place around. They are encircling the whole city of Rafah around. So that's what...
Why it's difficult to believe this whole story of genocide. Because who commits a genocide while first warning, first dropping letters, telling you to come out? It's really just...
Of course, the whole genocide thing has been a bollocks from the beginning. There is no genocide. If they wanted to do genocide, there are so many other ways they would do it and they would succeed. They wouldn't fail. But anyway, there is a lot of propaganda, anti-Israel propaganda, which is going around. And now somehow you tell people that and they think, no, it's Israel which is doing the propaganda. Actually, there is a lot of propaganda about them. And people don't even, somehow when you mention Israel, people shut down their brains and become very emotional. The U.S. administration is not happy that Netanyahu isn't obeying their demand to stop the war and leave Hamas intact or replace it with more of the same. The Palestinian Authority. So the order came through their agent within the Israeli government, Benny Gantz, who is the liberal guy, to resign from the war cabinet. Now, if Benny Gantz resigns from the war cabinet, that means that people can blame. Because what they did, they put together opposition and in government, come together in this, for this war. Decisions are made together. So nobody stands back and says, no, 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 me, I was against it. I didn't think that was a good idea. No, it was made by everybody. And I thought that was a good idea. Now, Benny Gantz wants to resign from the war cabinet and he will announce his thing very soon. But that's, of course, because he's being pushed by America, who do not want, who somehow want to oust Netanyahu. What does America have against Netanyahu so badly? I mean, not America, but
Israel.
The Biden administration. What do they have against Netanyahu?
Because, of course, Biden had wanted Israel. I'd wanted someone who actually listens to them and follows everything they have. They say to the dot. Now, Netanyahu has been going against each and every single thing they say. He says, first of all, don't enter. Even this recent one, don't enter Rafah. Then he later runs, goes. And even previously, when they'd wanted to launch the attack against against Hamas, he still spoke clearly that don't launch the attack, don't launch. So all this now it's very clear that he is against.
I think people wanted Hamas there.
Yes.
I think there are people who wanted Hamas there for one reason or the other.
Yes.
And Hamas has been preying on that, the fact that there are some people who want them protected because they meet a certain need, maybe a need for a military industrial complex to go and spend more weapons there. I don't know. For some reason, people wanted them there. And nobody wanted the total destruction of Hamas.
Yes.
But now it looks like it might be close to getting there.
Yes.
Because now already Benny Gantz is talking about what? Post-war Gaza.
Yes.
And he has given Netanyahu an ultimatum to come up with a strategy for post-war Gaza.
Yes.
And he says that he said that he would leave government by June 8th if Netanyahu does not present that plan.
Yes.
And both he and Gallant, who is the
defense
minister, have implicitly accused Netanyahu of prioritizing his political survival over national security. Mm. Same old stories.
Yes.
Same old stories. There have been, and you know this Saudi story. I remember there was a time when apparently he's facing corruption charges, doesn't want to lose the prime ministership, otherwise he will be charged with corruption. He lost the prime ministership, the corruption charges vanished until he came back. But anyway, it seems America is now trying to split Israel.
Yes.
And I wonder why.
I believe it's because that man is calling for a post-war Gaza plan. Now, last week, the Arab League had a summit.
Yes.
And, of course, Egypt was very vocal for reasons we now know that have been, you know, exposed. But they were all vocal with calling for the end to the war, but most importantly, a two-state solution. So that's what Benny Gantz means when he says post-war, because now the whole world, including the U.S., is calling for a two-state solution in that place. And the Arab League said that they what they want to see is perhaps a U.N., you know, troops, you know, on the ground to be the ones that will govern that place until Israel signs some sort of agreement with, you know, West Bank and Gaza. For now Palestine to become a nation. However, when we go to the UN, we see the US vetoing every possibility of Palestine becoming a member.
Yes.
Yet in the background, this is actually what they want.
Yes.
Now, and I believe that's one of the reasons for now this war, you know, why they wanted Hamas to actually be there, because there's no way Israel would have come to the table to negotiate without this some sort of thing to push them, you know, on the edge. So I believe it's the two-state solution, because I was wondering, what does he mean by post-war?
Yes.
Because Netanyahu has given a post-war plan.
Yes.
He has said before that he will make sure that Hamas, you know, is no longer totally destroyed.
Yes.
He wants at least the Palestinian Authority, because it's more moderate.
Yes.
But he wanted, you know, he had already put out, and even recently said he's willing to end the war tomorrow. If they return all the hostages, dead or alive, then he said that he wants the militants to surrender.
Yes.
But then he also added the third one, and he said Hamas leaders should be exiled.
Yes.
Because he clearly wants the war to end. However, there are parties that don't want it to end for purposes of pushing a two-state solution.
Okay, so they need Hamas there as the other side of the negotiation.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. Now, and now the ICC has stepped up their rhetoric.
Yes.
And now their prosecutor, Karim Khan, announced that he's seeking arrest warrants for Israeli prime leaders Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and Hamas leaders Yahya Sinwar and Mohammed Deif, as well as another one called Ismail Haniyeh, for alleged war crimes committed since the Gaza war began on October 7th. And Biden said the request for an order is scandalous. There is no room for comparison with Hamas, and we would stand by Israel when it defends itself. The usual two-sided rhetoric.
Yes.
But anyway, ICC is going for Netanyahu as well as Sinwar. So in other words, they are creating a moral equivalence between Israel and Hamas, which I find laughable.
And actually, they spoke about it and they said one of the ICC came out and spoke about that. It's not that we are going to do this, but we are trying to look at the possibility of what the two has done. Of course, talking about Netanyahu and Gallant, the defense minister, and then, of course, the Hamas, Sinwar, and the other ones. So they are saying that we want to analyze the possibility of what these two parties have done. So that's exactly what they are trying to actually push. And it is not yet clear, but one thing I see is that they are trying to push Israel more so, exactly what Derek said, that they want to push Israel to a point where they can now accept what they want, which is actually a two-state solution. And that's exactly the area, because for the war, they are seeing Hamas is losing very well. They are seeing Biden and his administration, they are not actually being listened to, because Israel is actually determined to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, plus a two-state solution would also be a win for Biden come November in the elections.
Yes, so that's why they are trying to push for all this from all these fronts, from ICJ, from ICC, and then, of course, and these other negotiations, which are actually also failing. Because like a few weeks ago when we were talking about how the negotiation for ceasefire has actually stalled, because all the two parties brings in their what they want, and actually it fails, because Israel brings in something, then Hamas goes and changes it. So all this has been failing. Now, because it has been failing and the negotiations have been failing, they have now decided to go ahead to another, maybe an international body. Even actually, they have gone to UN. You remember, I think 2 weeks ago, when Palestinian state were actually being supported. We discussed about this last week, that they were being supported by all these other nations for a Palestinian state. So all the about 143 countries backed them. And then I think afterwards, for it to be stamped and voted, they had to
took it to the UN Security Council.
Yes, Security Council, which of course I know US might veto it. So they are trying to push Israel from UN, push Israel from the pressure coming from Biden, and that one, okay, that one has failed actually. Pushing Israel from the ICC, pushing Israel from the ICJ. And that is for the point where, and also from within Israel, which is from within the government. So all this, which they are trying to do, is so that Netanyahu actually can surrender to a two-state solution, which, or if not a two-state solution, then a ceasefire, mostly a ceasefire, because that's where they want, and a ceasefire which they will be the one to present, either Biden or the Arabs or Hamas would present. And one of the discussions which they were speaking about was to bring out Hamas as victorious. That's what they want. They want to bring Hamas victorious, not defeated, the way Israel would want them to.
But now it's pointless, because there's no way Hamas can come out victorious, because they have fled from the Gaza Strip.
Yes.
I think their leader is no longer there.
No.
The tunnels have all been destroyed, and they are still discovering them and destroying them.
Mm.
So what does Hamas have to negotiate any longer? They have more or less been destroyed. The hostages, I'm told some of them were found dead.
Yes.
And so I think there is very little.
Very little.
But then also there has been, you were telling me about how they were trying to stab people. First of all, the relatives of hostages.
Yes.
And what, all to just disorganize Netanyahu.
Yes. Now, that one, because at first, before October 7th, there was, they tried to oust Netanyahu from within, through the, of course, George Soros pushing and funding
the reform, reform,
judicial reform,
yes,
and that one failed.
Mm.
Now, of course, the October 7th happened, and afterwards, then they tried to now host Netanyahu from within by, first of all, paying the hostages, the families of the hostages, to make sure that they riot, and they have been rioting almost on a daily basis. Now that one, it's to also do the same thing, to make sure that Netanyahu is uncomfortable, and actually, because what were they saying? The families of the hostages, what were they saying? They were speaking and saying that we want our people back. And on the table at that time, there was only the negotiation for a ceasefire. So that was the only thing.
What I've also appreciated from this entire situation is, first of all, when Gallant and Gans are asking for a lasting plan, a lasting solution, they have actually categorized the truce as a temporary solution. They want a permanent solution to the Israel's national security. And it has painted a picture in my mind about what actually it's going to play out now when we've approached that time when now things are, it's now time, you know, for the Lord to return. Because now we've seen how it's going to be. We've seen how the neighbors of Israel have behaved in this birth bank. You know, we've seen how nations have reacted. We've seen how nations have been judged, you know, for depending on where they stood. But we've also seen how the church has responded. Because for the most part, the church has actually stood with Israel, come rain, come shine, which has been a good thing. But I think this whole thing has prepared. It's not going to be mysterious. I think that's why he said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Because there's a preparation now the church has received. We are now awake to actually how things may really be. Because when Iran attacks, rather sends the missiles, we now know how dangerous that time will be for those who will be, you know, caught up in, you know, in that war, the Third World War. Then we've seen how people have, for example, now if you look at citizens of, the citizens of Israel who were abroad when the war started, they came back.
Yes.
You know, and the scripture says that they will actually flee, you know, and come back to Israel to defend. So I'm seeing so many scenarios that are preparing us for that grand, you know, event. And I think the church has now gotten a picture of what, you know, things will really be.
Yes, and even that, there's that scenario which the scripture speaks about in the Gog and Magog War, which is the same as Third World War from modern day language, that I will knock the ball out of the left hand, which is actually a very clear sign of what happened with Israel when they went and actually try to just do a snippet of what can that knocking of the ball can be, which they went in to the Iranian facility, nuclear facility, and they just hit the radar, which is for the security of the whole place. They just went and hit it and came back, just to show that, and exactly this is what the scripture says, that I'll knock the ball, which is a preemptive strike.
Although I suspect another big one will come at some stage.
Yes, this is just like an example of what will happen in the real time.
This is testing one.
Yes.
Okay, now, while we were at that, King Charles went and unveiled his first official photo, and it is Baphomet 101. And it has baffled so many people because those people who are in the know, but it is a real clear. Some would actually say that Prince Charles portrays himself like the devil in hell, surrounded by red, like as if fire, and with the image of Baphomet. What is Baphomet, first of all?
The Baphomet is it's represented as a goat head, you know, with the, you know, those horns, and then but with the body of a person, you know, down. However, the feet are also for a goat.
Yes.
So it's a goat man, sort of.
Yes. Okay, it's really a symbol of the devil.
Yes.
Now, now Prince Charles comes out fully with his image, his first official image, and it's Baphomet completely.
Yes.
You just have to put a mirror in the middle and get two of them, and somehow, as his face fades out, behind is that picture of the devil. And it is very, it cannot be any clearer. Now, of course, we've been saying here, I've been saying specifically since from the first time I read the book by a man called Tim Cohen, some Jewish man, the book called The Antichrist and the Cup of Tea. He's the man who first introduced Prince Charles as the possibility of the Antichrist. And as I read his book and as I continued to study some of the things about his life
and
what the scripture specifically says about the Antichrist,
I
became more and more convinced that he is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And now his official image, I am telling you that I now have no doubt whatsoever. He's the one. He is the one.
Yes.
Now I'm telling you here that Prince Charles or King Charles of the UK is the Bible Antichrist.
Yes.
There is no doubt about it. Because all the things that we mentioned about, even at the Watchman conference, there were so many pointers. There's somebody I remember who came and said that, you know, you've convinced by, there were eight reasons. I said eight reasons why I think he is the Antichrist. I picked them from here and there and from my own study and what the Bible says about the Antichrist. By the time I got to the fifth, somebody told me I'm already convinced. And the number of them, there's just things which fit perfectly, like his coat of arms. Purely described in Revelation, different parts of Revelation. Like even his name. You know, because the scripture says it's the name of a man.
And the name is 666.
And the name Charles means a man. And a number of things. So many others. He's the eighth and he's of the seven and so on and so on. But now all those were. But when I saw that image, I was like, goodness gracious me. And he unveiled it himself. I was saying, now this is saying something. And by the way, of course, he, you know, he stays in the castle of Dracula. He actually lives there. Lives in the castle, of Dracula. Now, if you do not know that history of Dracula, go and check it out. You know, Count Dracula, what place is that? Hungary or something like that? They're somewhere in Europe. Hungary. Somewhere in Europe. And he has said before that he's a descendant of his. My goodness me, that thing shook me. What do you think about it?
For me, because when I saw the photo, first of all, and all the coloring, first of all, the coloring, like just showed me, because it looks like he's
in flames.
Covered in flames. And then, and all these other sides, and it's just hidden, like his face is a little bit hidden, and then everything in the photo is red, which is very significant. Of course, talking about that color red, it is very, very significant. And then later on, the photo which came out after, of course, through many researches, when it's turned around, it forms that symbol of the devil himself, like what you said. So that is exactly, it just stunned me because I was so stunned to look at all this forming up, and I was saying that this is the true Antichrist. He is.
Well, interesting. Derek, did you see it?
Yes, I had to look at it, and of course, first of all, why would... Of all the portraits, we've seen portraits of kings before, but this is totally, totally off the charts. This was as if he was sending a message to a particular kind of audience. Because usually people will do portraits and it's a clear image, you know. But this was, it's as if he's coming out of the flames, you know. But it's also as if he is born of it. It was just there. I think you could get, like they say, a picture, say it has a thousand, you know, can say a thousand words. This picture was a clear indication of who he actually is.
And his wife Camilla, when she saw it, said of the artist, oh dear, he got him absolutely right. I'm like, amazing, amazing. Yes. Anyway, what else is of interest?
Yes, I found something interesting about the European Union planning to send F-16 jets finally to Ukraine. Now, a bit of history on the F-16s. When they were built, they were designed to actually carry nuclear payloads. Now, from the very start, he let the, you know, the tanks come in and what, but he stood and said, Putin, who has actually now been sworn in for, I think, a fifth term, he stood and said that if you bring F-16s, I am going to be forced, it will be considered a nuclear nuclear aggression, because those jets are designed to carry those payloads. Yeah. But now I was seeing last week, I think it was from the Danish minister saying that they are going to deliver jets in the coming months. These jets. So I found that that's a particularly interesting development. Mm-hmm. We'll wait to see if he also shook up his military structure, showing that now he is ready for whatever comes. So I think that was a dangerous escalation. Although now, of course, the media has been putting a lot of attention on Israel. But I think that's something we need to watch as well.
Yes, I believe one of the things they have been trying to do, which is NATO, they have been trying to do to Russia, is to push Russia to a point where they can now pull out nuclear, and so that they enter into some sort of a nuclear war or a war between the two. That's the thing which I've been seeing, because all the time they have been pushing mostly also this Poland, coming into Poland, because they wanted to use Poland. And actually the president, I don't know whether the president or the foreign minister of Poland, went in and said that now we are allowing NATO to actually come and use our territory, which was very dangerous, because it's just close to now Russia and even close to Ukraine. So that has been the thing. All these other nations which are bordering Ukraine from this other side, which are some of them are not NATO allies, they have been trying to push for them so that they can actually host NATO arms and mostly NATO equipments. So that is one of the things they have been trying so hard to push Putin to a point where he can bring out nuclear, or to a point where they are forced to now fight as NATO and Russia, which is something I've been looking at it and I'm saying, let's watch and see what's actually going to happen. Because looking at what they're like, that one, the F-16, it is a very, very deadly weapon, which of course jets, which if it's in the hand of Ukraine, it can change the shift, the balance of the war slightly. Of course not, it cannot match yet Russia, but Russia, Putin has actually been wanting to stop the war and has been trying to present something. But of course, we have now known the hidden agenda behind Ukraine, that they're using it, first of all, for hoarding money, for a lot of things, and even the healthcare, a lot of things. They have been trying to do some dark agendas there.
And so, the laboratories which are holding some of the next pathogens that are going to be released upon the earth are in Ukraine.
Yes.
So the viruses are stored there for the best time to be released to continue with the power grab that we saw here during COVID, where something comes and the whole purpose of the virus is for governments to get more power and so on and so forth. Now, if Putin were to take over those laboratories in Ukraine, that would be people whose plans have been
wasted.
Whose plans he has pissed on, or something like that. So Ukraine is a very important country for that reason.
Yes. Now, so they have been wanting to send in long range missiles, the one of Poland, and also to send in some of those weapons, like really weapons of massive destruction through these other neighboring countries bordering Ukraine, and also mostly to the west of Ukraine. So they have been doing that, and actually that is one thing Putin wants to solve this all, and they can stop fighting. But for them, they had been wanting to actually make sure they prolong the war, like what you said, so that their agenda and what they want to can prosper, can continue.
Yeah, I also saw that the pandemic treaty that we spoke about here some weeks ago, on Monday, they will be sitting, that's May 27th, they'll be sitting finally. And there was an interesting development in the US where all Republican senators, signed a document and told Biden not to support WHO, pandemic authority. And they said that you cannot afford to ignore the WHO's inability to perform its most basic function, because it was the one at the forefront of determining that COVID was a pandemic.
Yes.
Then it spread the information, the apparently correct information about the disease and its treatment. Mm. And now it has turned out that it was all hogwash. Mm. You know, people have received, side effects, people died and what. So they're saying if it failed in determining, you know,
yes,
COVID, mm-hmm. how is it now going to tell the whole world that we have the capacity to manage future diseases,
yes.
which they actually now are planning to, because I was seeing they were raising alarm about bird flu in cows and what.
Yes.
It appears they want to now roll out that that thing before the U.S. Yes. elections, most probably.
Yes. Yeah, it's planned for later this year, the H5N1 virus. And I think, but the infrastructure is fading.
Yes.
Because they wanted this very badly and they yes. were trying to push so hard for it. But the infrastructure, that's why even people, presidents are dying.
Yes.
Like this guy of Slovakia.
What? Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Because for him, he was so against the war in Ukraine, so against all this pandemic treaty, and he was a real, real, you know, conservative guy and what.
Yes.
He was shot 5 times. He apparently is hanging onto his life.
Yes.
And there have been others, even the guy in... The military guy in Niger, also he survived.
Mm.
And then there was a coup attempt in the DRC, mm-hmm. but that one is about minerals and so on, and might involve corporate greed, including companies like Apple, and so many other things.
Yes.
So you see that there is a fight for control.
Yes.
Now, previously, those people had total control. You see, you didn't hear coup attempts in Congo.
No.
They would get whatever they wanted in Congo.
Easily.
Somehow they would push their treaties properly. They would produce a so-called vaccine and then decide that they want to push a virus to promote their vaccine. So the vaccine, the virus is made for the vaccine and not the vaccine made for the virus. And somehow they fooled everybody during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is going to be very difficult for them to do that again. It's going to be extremely difficult for them because so many countries are going to come up against that whole pandemic. Although it's next Monday, and they might postpone it if they realize that it's not going to go through.
Mm.
Because the first time it was African countries that voted it down.
Yes.
Now a second failure would leave them with a lot of problems. Getting themselves out of there would be a very big, big problem. And then there's also the information things, the freedom of information.
Yes.
I was seeing how Australia has been fighting Elon Musk and his ex so badly because they wanted him to block out certain views which are not like extremist views. By extremist, I mean they are not like terrorists or what. They're just views that are against what the establishment wants. Australia has become a dictatorship.
Mm.
So many Western countries, by the way, are now becoming a dictatorship. Big, big, big time. I was seeing a gentleman talking about how many people were arrested for what they said on social media. For instance, e.g., in Russia. And he said, and he was on British television, and he said that 2017, 400 people in Russia were arrested for what they said on social media. And then he asked the gentleman who was interviewing him, can you guess what the figure is for the UK? Because for us, of course, we are, a democratic country. Can you guess what the figure is? The man says, I had no idea. Then he says there were 3,300 in the UK.
Wow.
Arrested for what they said on social media. Now, these countries are becoming dictatorships, by the way, because the guy, he gave an example, that very man, and I found it fascinating. Now, this girl, young girl, her friend died in a car crash. So as some kind of tribute to her friend, she posted on her Instagram the lyrics of the friend's favorite song, and it was a rap song.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere along the way, it had the word nigger. That's all. She just posted the whole lyrics of a song and had the word nigger. That was enough. Police showed up at her house and she was arrested, taken, and charged and found guilty and sentenced to 500 hours of community service as well as a whole year of overnight confinement where they tag you and you have to be home at 6 p.m. and you cannot leave before 6 a.m. every night for a whole year because you posted the lyrics of a song which has the word nigger, which song you did not sing. And I really don't understand this because it's a complete... 3,300. Now you think Uganda is a dictator. Okay, we are a dictatorship. But you're not going to find even 100 people who have been arrested for what they said on social media, unless it is something criminal.
Yes.
For instance, there was a man who was posing on social media how he steals people's phones. On TikTok, how he steals people's phones and you know what, and police arrested him. Not because he was criticizing something, not because he was, apparently racist or what, or anti-homosexual. Or no, just because he was a thief and he was confessing his acts on what, on social media. Now, that's not the kind of arrest I'm talking about. Or if somebody films himself beating up somebody, that's the... But I'm talking about where you just have an opinion that is different from what they want you to have. Police. Now we have, Europe is becoming a dictatorship.
Yes.
Those countries are becoming dictatorship very, 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 very fast. And it is subtle. It comes in a very subtle way, you know. Yeah, you know, they start climate deniers. So now you cannot come up and say anything about climate. You cannot come up and say anything about, the immigration laws and so on. And now you find, by the way, they are in trouble, some of those people. Because they are countries. Almost all the European countries, especially of the big European cities, especially of the big countries, have a bigger percentage of immigrants than indigenous people. For instance, a city like London can be like 60% immigrants. Now, the one which beat me most was Brussels. Brussels is 70-something percent immigrant.
During the pro-Palestine protests, you would think you're actually in the Middle East.
Yes. While we don't necessarily say immigration is bad, but I don't want to have a time where Kampala is full of foreigners more than Ugandans.
Yes.
Like, that is just not right.
Yes.
that's outright wrong. You know,
very wrong.
Because people have to have an identity.
Yes.
Now, imagine you're walking the streets of Kampala and all the people are foreigners, 70% of them are not Ugandans. You say now what kind? Now that is almost every city.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm talking about London, I'm talking about Brussels, I'm talking about maybe those in Italy are different.
Yes.
Italy somehow has retained a bit of its identity.
Mm.
If you go, for instance, to Rome or Milan, you'll find mostly Italy, which is a good thing. But now the rest, it's just crazy.
Which is one of the curses that in the scripture about if Israel disobeyed the Lord, that foreigners would come and run down the entire city.
And they have done that over. Now, you see, in London or the UK, almost all mayors of the biggest cities are all Muslims.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, while there's nothing wrong with Muslims being mayors, it's almost as if there are no other, you know, like every mayor, this one, London, what, Birmingham, what, all of them. And
most of them children of immigrants.
And you dare not say that, otherwise you join the list of 3,300 people who have been arrested for what they say on social media.
Previously, they would arrest you for your opinion.
Yes.
But now you're arrested for expressing someone else's opinion, like that lady who posted the lyrics.
Yeah.
Or like the pastors who just post the scripture and you're rounded up.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it started. Anyhow, we just have to know that. I mean, the world is becoming interesting.
Yes.
And but the good news, and we have to end with good news, is that liberal world order is collapsing.
Very well.
Amen.
Because they no longer have the people with them.
Yes.
They are now trying to use a lot of force and a lot of coercion and, you know, all that. But they don't have the people with them.
No.
Before COVID, for instance, a lot of the people in those countries, the populations, were convinced that the government meant well for them. Now they know otherwise.
Yes.
They might oblige and go down a path just because they have no choice, but they don't believe it.
Yes.
They don't believe it. They know how they were given a vaccine which was unnecessary. They know how they are made to wear masks, which now it turns out were all fake. They know how the PCR tests were all fake.
Yes.
Magufuli told us that and we refused to, you know. His video came up, by the way, recently and was trending. And with the subtitles, English subtitles, saying how he took blood of a donkey, of a sheep, and even popo juice, and gave them a name, and some of them were turning out as positive for corona.
Yes.
And people were saying the man was a visionary, but they killed him. They killed him as they killed the president of Burundi.
Yes.
As they killed the president of Haiti, as they killed the president of Ivory Coast.
Yes.
So now the next time they are going to have to kill so many other presidents for them to push their thing.
Yes.
Now it was just five presidents who were going against the narrative. The one of Madagascar survived.
Even the one of Brazil, Bolsonaro.
Even Bolsonaro survived. But now they are going to, but for him, they took him off completely.
They recently put a case on him that he apparently forged a COVID card that he had received a jab in order to travel. And the man came out and said, the whole world knows I never received this thing. I was on cameras. Because they want to make sure that he's in jail. But of course, all Hogwarts.
It's the same Trump lawfare thing. Anyway, so but now we are coming to an end of their thing because they have really sold us there. Their time is not
very
yet.
Well.
Their time is not yet.
Yes.
It will come.
Yes.
But it is not yet.
It's not yet.
So even if they are unveiling posters, his time will come. But now it is the time for the church. And we are going to be in total control until the rapture. Then we can leave them with what?
Yes.
With the Antichrist and the devil to mess them up. Thank you so much for joining us here on Watchman. Every Friday we have a fellowship right here in Zambia, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital, not far away from the main road on the American Embassy. Please, you can join us every Friday starting 5:30, 6 p.m. And let us learn how to be end-time believers. Otherwise, thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. God bless you all.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at The Realm, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy, opposite Mukwaya General Hospital. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money line, that is +256 780 290 555, or +256 750 290 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministry, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.